Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
Now, if I were to ask you today who Jesus is, what would you say? If I were to ask you who Jesus is, what do you say? We've sung songs about him today, and most of us have grown up in church, and all we talk about is Jesus. So some of us may be new, and you know, you were here because of Jesus. But oftentimes, because as I've mentioned before, we're always on the receiving end, we take it for granted. We forget the true meaning or the true name and the true person of Jesus. And today I felt like the Holy Spirit wants to steer our attention back on the person of Jesus. So the question to you is, who is Jesus to you? You can say that he's your Savior. Yes, absolutely, 100%. You can say that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I asked Elijah one time, hey, who is Jesus to you? And he's like, he's the King of Space and he defeats the devil. I'm like, okay, that's great. I think he meant the universe. And then I asked Noah, who is Jesus? Yeah, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's Mr. Know-it-all. So I asked them, because I love doing devotion with them. They just say the funniest things, but the most honest and pure things about their faith in Jesus. And so it says here, who is Jesus to you? You know, oftentimes it's so easy to say the answer out of your own head, out of your own knowledge, out of, yeah, I know, because he saved me. I go to church because of Jesus. You know, that's it. But do we answer from a head knowledge or a personal relationship? And many times in relationships, it's one-sided with Jesus. You know, when you're with your family, you know, you don't just want your kids to say, all right, thanks for the food, bye. It's like, I want to have a conversation with you. I want you to know me. I want you to know about your day. Or with your spouse, it's like they do something for you and that's it. They don't even say thank you. It's like, come on, let's have a conversation. Let's keep this conversation going. It's like we always receive the benefits, but how can we become a benefit to his kingdom? We're always receiving the benefits of Jesus and all that he has done, but how do we become a benefit to his kingdom? So I go back to the question, who is Jesus to you? Now I'll read from Colossians, but before I do, I'm just going to pray. So let's all pray. And God, I thank you that you are here, that I'm talking, but your people hear your voice in this place. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the revealer of truth. You are the Spirit of truth. And the people will hear the voice of God in this place, and they will see Jesus from a different light, from a light that they have never seen before. I thank you, God, that you will release us, God, from the pains of the past, that the hold of religion, the hold of tradition and culture, and we will see Jesus from your light. I thank you so much that you've already done something, you've already begun something, and we will just continue to pursue your move in this place. So have your way, have your way. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as is in this place. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So let's open our Bibles to Colossians. We'll read from Colossians. Now, as I was studying Colossians, it actually, a lot of these people, the commentators are saying that Colossians is one of the best books or letters to read about the person of Jesus. From Dr. Ralph Wilson, it says, this letter provides us with one of the most compelling visions in all the New Testament of who Jesus Christ actually is in all his majesty and glory. This is about the supremacy of Christ. This is about one of the greatest exaltations to Christ in all the Bible, according to John Piper. So I will read to you from Colossians 1, 13 to 20. He's talking about the Father. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, preeminent first of the first of the first. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, I encourage you, I know that is a lot, but I encourage you when you get home today or this week or in the coming months to just study that passage, to know more about Jesus as more than our Savior, but as our Lord. You know, when we accept Jesus in our lives, we confess that he is our Lord and Savior. Let's start living as if he is our Lord, and that he is our Lord. And this shows us Jesus in a different light. Who is Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God. No one has seen God, but if you've experienced God, it's like you've already seen him. If you have accepted Jesus, it's like you've already seen Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the firstborn of all creation. Who is Jesus? By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Who is Jesus? He's before all things. In him, all things hold together. Who is Jesus? He's the head of the body, the church. Not Pastor Dave or Pastor Son, not the fivefold. It is Jesus. He is the head of the church. Who is Jesus? He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Who is Jesus? He's the first of the first. Who is Jesus? God was pleased to dwell all his fullness in him. And who is Jesus? He made peace by his blood on the cross. He has restored us. And we can stand here, and you are sitting there and just listening to this message, and you have faith in you because of Jesus, because of everything that Jesus has done, and because of who Jesus is. So take the time to study this word for word, verse by verse, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something new about Jesus, because we can never get enough of Jesus. Pastor Sonia said it before. There's just never enough. We can never outpraise Jesus. There's a never-ending well of knowledge of Jesus, and all we got to do is go in there, dig deep, keep striking the ground, and God is so pleased to reveal things to you. If only you are willing. David said, grant me a willing spirit. So let that be our prayer today forward, that we are willing to know more about Jesus. Not just rely on messages on Sunday, not just rely on a 5-minute devotion, really dig deep into the word and know him, so that when you come to church, you are already filled. So that when you speak to someone, you are already filled. So when you are praying for someone, you are already filled, because you know who Jesus is. So who is Jesus to you? Now, Paul was saying this to the church in Colossae, because the church of Colossae was under attack by false teachers. These people started to infiltrate the church, saying that, you know, you need to be a mystic, or you need to join in Gnosticism or spiritualism, empty philosophies and Jewish traditions, because there were a mix of Greeks and Jewish people at the time. But before I say that, let me tell you about the Colossian church. It was birthed from the move of this spirit. This church was likely birthed around 30 years after Jesus lived. Imagine being in a time where Jesus was alive 30 years ago. It's incredible. But they didn't have the Bible that we had. So we're very blessed today. So all they relied on was the teachings of Paul. And they didn't even hear directly from Paul from the beginning. They heard from this person named Epaphras. Now, Epaphras was a person from Colossae who stumbled upon Paul. But the thing is, I don't know exactly how he ended up in that city, how he ended up where Paul was in Ephesus, but you guys can study it when you study it at home. So it's like the distance is from Melbourne to, say, Werribee. So let's say Epaphras was from Werribee, and he just ended up hearing about Paul, and Paul was teaching about the Holy Spirit. So Epaphras was filled by the Spirit, and maybe that was an accident, but just know that there is no accident in God. It's always a divine appointment. So you feel like you stumbled upon this church, just know it's a divine appointment. If you find yourself growing in your faith, if you find yourself loving Jesus more and loving people more, I don't think that's an accident. I think that's a God appointment. Levi, my husband, accidentally went to my previous church. Well, 8 years later, I don't think that's an accident. I think it's a God appointment. So, anyway, the heart is God had a plan for the city of Colossae. God saw the need in the city of Colossae. God saw the need in the city of Werribee in the West. That's why Pneuma West is here today, because God saw the need and God has called His people to stand up for the name of Jesus and reveal the truth about Jesus. And 4 years later, these people, these false teachers came, and the people were under attack. And these people who are innocent, who are just hungry for the word, suddenly were being told that you have to do this and do that. You have to follow this tradition and do that. But, you know, you don't need to add or take away to what Jesus has already done. Oftentimes, church becomes this and that, and it becomes so hard. Who here has felt tired of serving? I know I have felt tired of serving, because oftentimes we miss the point. We miss who the person of Jesus is. We miss the reason of why we're here to begin with. We become focused on the works. We become focused on, oh, I gotta be there. I gotta do this. Otherwise, it's never gonna happen. And then sometimes as well, we hear things, especially on social media, we hear things from people about God, about the Bible, but we just know in our hearts that it's not from Him. Church, I think it's time for us to stand up for our faith. I think it's time for us to take hold of our faith. As what Pastor Dave was preaching last week, take hold of your miracle and don't let go until you receive your miracle. Take hold of who Jesus is in your life. Don't just rely on what you hear, but be deep in the Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal who Jesus is to you, because the enemy will tell you so many things about Jesus. If he can't stop you from hearing the Word, he will try to dilute the word. If he can't stop you from hearing the word, he will mix in things that you got to do this, you got to do that, or there are other things in place. But no, we only got to focus on who Jesus is. So who is Jesus to you? So the problem was that, and now Paul, although he was in prison at the time, he wrote this letter because he knew that he had a responsibility to stand up for the faith, to stand up for the name of Jesus. Church, we have a responsibility to stand up for the name of Jesus. Social media, we see it on the news every time, even in movies, in songs. They say the name of Jesus in such a way that it's so, oh, but that's Jesus who died for you, who took on your sin, who gave you life, and who has given you freedom. If only you knew, but they didn't. But us here today, we know Him. But do we really know Him, that we can stand up for what His name really means and what His name brings? If you hear that in a song, turn it off. If you see that in the movies, just stop it. And if people say things about it, or they say, just put stand up for your faith. It's time that they know that you are His disciple. It's time that we are bold about our faith. We prayed about this in prayer power today. Let's really live that out. So Paul was saying that Jesus is sufficient. His goal in life, that's why Jesus called him. He stopped him in his steps, you know, when he was about to attack this church in Antioch. Am I correct? I think it's Antioch. It says here, to make the word of God fully known to the people, to the Gentiles, which is us, and to present everyone mature in Christ. Our leaders, our pastors, their goal in ministry is to present every one of us mature in Christ to do their part. But we also have to do our part. We can't always rely on what they give us. We got to stand up in our faith as well. We've got to stand up for who we are are in Christ. Because, you know, just like a child, well, it's just like Noah and Elijah when they were babies. And I love that Reuben is here. I got to see him the very first time. You know, they're so dependent on mom and dad. When you cry, when the baby cries, we come to them. But as they grow older, we teach them and we teach them. You know, Levi has been telling me and nagging me to stop comforting Elijah every single time he cries because I baby him too much. And he's never going to learn. He's always going to be so clingy. But for us, you know, we can't always cling to the people next to person next to us. We've got to cling on God. We've got to cling on the Word. We've got to cling on His Spirit. And how do we do that? Day by day, day and night, we dive into the Word. Day and night, we dive into prayer. Day and night, we seek the heart of God in our situation, in our daily living. Now, I just want to quickly read to you because I know we're short on time. But Paul was defending, you know, Jesus, the name of Jesus, saying that all you need is Jesus and He is enough. The finished work on the cross is enough, and all we got to do is follow the life He called us to live. And what is this life? And Paul was telling the Colossian church in chapter 3. I found three things here. So the first one is seeking the heavenly. This life that we live in Jesus is we seek the heavenly. This means our perspective is renewed. So I'll just read from 3 verse 1 to 5. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So William Barclay says this, the Christian will view everything against the background of eternity and no longer live as if this world was all that mattered. Now, Paul is not saying to daydream. Paul is not saying to be out of touch with reality and just be in our own little bubble and then we'll be like shimba badada like in our little corner and be so freaking out. They don't know what we're doing. No, not at all. He said, continue living. Be present, but with the awareness of His presence. Be present with the awareness of His presence. Having God and His heart at the forefront of our minds, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. So in your daily life, where is Christ in this? In your mornings, God, where can I find you today? In your working, God, where can I proclaim your name today? If you're at school, God, how can I minister to show the people who Jesus is? When you're looking after your children, how can I love these children and show them who Jesus is? So be present with the awareness of His presence. His Spirit is in us. He's living in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we often forget because we're so busy with life. And trust me, I know I've been so busy. It's so hard. It can get really hard. But like what Levi was saying before, you know, the enemy will try to make you busy just so you have no time for God. He will fill your mind with things that are worthless just so you do not think of things of God. But it's now time for us to stand. It's now our time to really say to the enemy, you have no authority over my life. I will take hold of my miracle. I will take hold of my faith. I will take hold of Jesus because He is my life. My life is hidden with Him. And then when I see Him, when He comes back, He will say, yes, my son, my daughter, thank you for spending time with me and knowing me. Because let me tell you, church, God knows you. I tell this to kids' church all the time, that did you know God knows the number of hair on your head? They try to count it and they say a random word. I'm like, good for trying. God knows when you wake up and when you lay down. God knows everything in you. But do we know our God? Do we know this God that we serve, that we proclaim is good? Do we know this Jesus who has walked this earth and has taken on all our sin, not just our sin, but the sin of the world? Do we really know who He is? Because if we do, then activating the heavenly perspective will be so easy, because we are within whispering distance from His Spirit. I heard this from Pastor Corey. Be within whispering distance. And how do we do that? We pursue God in your devotion time. We pursue God in the Word. We pursue God in our prayer. We pursue God when we just pray with one another, when we talk about God, when we encourage one another. In our life groups, that's what we do. But the most important is before we start a day or we end the night, we are in the Word. We are in His presence. So seek the heavenly where Christ is. The second thing is putting to death the earthly where Christ is not. In verse 5 to 9, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. In New Living Translation, it says, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We are a new creation in Christ. But church, let me tell you, temptations are still around. Temptations can get stronger because we live in an imperfect world and we're still living in an imperfect body. But you know, we are not living on our own. The Bible says God promised that He will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us. And Jesus said, you know, in the Great Commissioning, that He will be with us till the end of the age. So if you're battling with something, if you're struggling with something, because, you know, the enemy will try to stop you in your steps from doing the work of God or from becoming who you truly are in God, just say, God, I need you, and hold on to that authority that you have in Jesus. The enemy will try to remind you of your past. The enemy will try to pull you and help make you respond from the old self, because, you know, situations, because there's problems everywhere. Let's just say yes to that. We all have our own issues. We all have things that we're facing, and not just in our own world, but, you know, in the city around us, there's so many things going on. But just know that the God that we serve is victorious. He is alive today, and He has eternity in His heart. He has placed eternity in our hearts, and we are victorious in Him. So let's take hold of who He is. Let's take hold of His power. Let's take hold of the goodness of our God. Tell the enemy, no, you have no power over me. I may fall, I may make mistakes, but the God I serve is gracious. He will forgive me, and I am being renewed day by day as I spend time with Him day by day. And thanks, Dad. And that is the power of the God that we serve. We don't see each other from the past. You know, our new kingdom culture value, honor affirms value. We see each other the way Jesus sees us. And that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are holy, that you are righteous, and that you are called to be someone better than what you think you are. So praise Jesus, put to death what is earthly. And lastly, we can end with this, is the third part, put on the mantle. And this is the outworking of your new life in Christ, verses 12 to 17. But I'll only read up to 14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I'll end with this verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I looked up the word mantle in dictionary. It says it's like a cloak, but it also represents a passing on of an important role. When you said yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, you're taking on a role to represent him, to present him to the world. You know, we're not just saved. This life that we have in Jesus is not just for us to enjoy, but it is for the wider body. It's for the whole world to see that, hey, you're suffering because of sin, but there is freedom on this side where Jesus is. This is the outworking of our new life in Christ. So if you go home and study that, just live by it. You know, it says here, it has to flow out of us. What happens here in church has to flow out into our homes, into our schools, workplaces, our city. There needs to be a transformation. You know, when Epaphras went to Colossae after what he has heard from Paul, the city of the church in Colossae was birthed. So something has to be birthed when you have been renewed by God, when God is the Lord and Savior of your life. And it doesn't have to be on a colossal, you know, it doesn't have to be big, but a simple, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, can I encourage you? I just want to send this person a message to encourage them, you know, send them a Bible verse, or just see someone on the street and just go up to them and give them something. All this is a representation of who Jesus is, and to present Jesus to the world, not as the world shows Jesus, but as the Word shows Jesus. So who is Jesus to you? So it says in Ephesians 4 as well, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Church, we are made in the image of God. We are meant to look like God. Sin came, distorted that, but God says, no, I will take back what is mine, and I will restore to them the image, the purpose that I have for them through his son, Jesus. Jesus came to restore that and restore identity in him. So church, who is Jesus to you? Let's end here and let's just close our eyes and take a moment, because we're going to worship. And I wanted to ask Pastor Dave to sing that song. And I didn't know the lineup until Friday night. And when I saw it, I bawled my eyes out, because God, this is not my message. It is you. It is your heart for your people, because you want your people to know who you are, to fall in love with you again, to go back to the moment that we were saved, to go back to the moment where we first met Jesus, and not stop there, but grow in that relationship. It's like, you know, me and Levi are in our relationship. We always say, I'm more in love with you than I was 8 years ago, because as we did life together, as we encountered and overcame storms together, we just became closer. And our marriage verse is actually here, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It is Jesus and his love for us that binds us together. It's his love. It's who he is. So when we sing this song, ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? And if you have forgotten that, it's okay. You know, it's his grace and his love, and he is willing. He is willing to reveal himself to you if you come and if you're just willing to receive him. It says in the word as well, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. If you feel like you've been tired of doing church, it's okay. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, because this is all about Jesus. If you're tired of doing life with someone, fix your eyes on Jesus, because that is all about Jesus. If you've been suffering from your pain, from the distractions of the world, let's look to Jesus, because everything is all about Jesus. At the center of everything is Jesus. I was so blessed when I was reading Revelations. It says here in 5:10, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. God has given us a new identity. God has restored our authority. God has restored us back to what it was supposed to be like when God first created us. And I know sin is just, you know, it's like following us. The enemy is trying to stop you, or so many distractions, and, you know, life happens and we all live in it. But God says, you don't do life, you're not meant to live life on your own. I came so that you are not alone. And today God wants to show this side of him. And I was reading this quote from John Piper as well. The one who promises never to leave you is the one who has all authority in the universe. So let that sink in. The one who promises never to leave you is the one who has all authority in the universe. So you feel like life has defeated you, has pushed you to the ground. It's time to go on your knees and look to Jesus and say, here I am. Let's worship him, church. If you want to stand with me, let's just worship.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.